Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster.
I will speak about two different topics. One is on hate speech regulation, and another is the on the economic side of the digital platformers targeting the say, Yahoo, Google, Amazon, and the likes. So first, the hate speech. In the East Asia, one of the worst relationships between two countries is Japan and Korea, for some historical reasons. It's very complex. And the Japanese people somehow don't really accept the Korean residents, especially in Japan, who historically are at peak time more than a million. And right now, it's about half a million. And also, around 2000, our society is becoming a little bit too much right-wing side, including the leadership. And since 2006, pushed by this right-wing sort of tendency, a new strange xenophobic group called Zaitokkai started to campaign against Koreans in public demonstrations and rallies, and causing a lot of problems, serious. However, the society at large didn't like this xenophobic group, and some citizens went to the court, in the local court and the high court and all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court dismissed Zaitokkai's appeal, meaning that their case really is illegal of the hate speech. That's the first time the Supreme Court admitted a hate speech that is racism and it's illegal. But they continued at that from 2015 to targeting other cities and municipalities and the residents. But the citizens this time took some more international action, went to New York and appealed to the UN, especially the Human Rights Convention and the people around. And they made strong recommendations for the Japanese government to consider to suppress, including the enacting a new law. And somehow, including some reluctant conservative politicians, they had to keep their face in the international sort of arena. So that Hate Speech Elimination Act was, it took only 2 years or less to enact that law. But there's no penalty, no enforcement mechanisms, just ideals they put and some duties the government should do. But again, no real mandate. So then the center of gravity of hate speech shifted to the internet, obviously. So this Hate Speech Elimination Act, working to suppress the hate speeches in the physical spaces. So far it worked okay, but there's still many hate speeches appearing on the internet. And internet and SNS services in particular are these digital platforms widely used to spread and amplify the hate speeches. It's easy to cover their identities. You never know who is really making nasty statements. And it's easy to share instantly. And so that it is there. And also the Japanese constitution somehow keeps a term called secrecy of communication. In the lessons of the Second World War or even before, that the censorship by the state government was regarded as one of the sources of the wartime wrong attitudes of the Japanese army and Japanese people, that this secrecy of communication should be strictly respected, written in both the Constitution and the Communication Act. But in 2020, the Kawasaki city established a local ordinance to establish a city with no discrimination and respecting human rights. There are so many Korean residents over there. It's one of the concentrated areas of Koreans, but also having a very positive relationship with the local Japanese and running together the church or nursery school. I have some friends there. So that this Zaitokkai xenophobic group targeted this place. And they got the criminal punishment, financial penalty inside the local ordinance, so as a theft. And this xenophobic group continued the bullying or the hate speech. But then just a week ago, The Tokyo High Court ordered a man to pay 1.3 million yen. It's about 100,000, no, no, sorry, 13,000 US dollars penalty. It's actually when he was a young junior high school student, he was sort of very much heavily bullied or criticized on Twitter and other means. But the judge said the posted comments were extremely vicious, and the damage amount or the penalty amount was unusually high. And they said racial discrimination itself is illegal, and it may or expected to have a deterrent effect on hate speech on the internet. The plaintiff obtained the identity from the internet service providers that there's another law in Japan that immunize the ISPs or providers if they follow the certain steps, if there's a court order, or if there's some legitimate request by a lawyer, then they would disclose the identity of the sender of these hate speeches. So although there's no penalty mechanisms, as I mentioned, in the law, Hate Speech Elimination Act, but the judge took the spirit of the act. He quoted that. Also, he quoted international convention as well in the sentence. So it's a combination of the citizens' activities and the local municipalities and the central government. It's kind of a bit rare to find in Japan for any other areas of the policy issues. Now let's get into the economic concerns. Like many other countries, the Japanese people and the industry and the government and the politicians are all wary of the GFA or big tech companies, yet they don't know how to really effectively regulate. So they started investigation, say, 4 or 5 years ago, and they were relatively quick to enact a new law. Last year, they passed the Congress, and then this year, in February, it was enforced, Act on Improving Transparency and Fairness of Digital Platform. So, positive words. So first, they recognized, they started investigation under the government committee, or three branches of the government worked together, which is rare in Japan, Ministry of Economy and Ministry of, the Cabinet Office, and also the Antitrust Fair Trade Commission. First, they recognize the very positive impacts of the digital platforms. It's the base for the innovation. It's double-sided market, the network effect, and low marginal costs, and economy of scale. Are contributing to the welfare of the public at large. But they pointed out a certain negative impacts of the over-concentrations, monopoly, oligopoly, or lock-in effect, abuse of transaction data, unknown use for the advertisement or tracking the personal data quietly and outside the jurisdiction. All of these known issues are pointed out. And they concluded that there's a need for fair trade practice between users and operators, and you need to promote innovation in rapidly growing digital market. Do not stifle the innovation under the new regulatory framework. So we need a balanced approach, the consumer protection on the one hand and the business promotion on the other. That was the conclusion of the investigation and also the guiding principles of the new act. So it's a And they firstly designated two different types of online businesses. One is a comprehensive online services starting from e-commerce, travel or banking and security services, all in a one package, a bit like Yahoo. And so also the annual turnover over 300 billion yen or 3 billion US dollars are designated as a specified provider. Amazon, Rakuten Japan, Rakuten Taiwan, and Yahoo Japan, not Yahoo the US, are three big players in this field. And in the mobile app, there are only two providers that we all know, Apple and Google, designated. And they're obliged under the law to disclose terms and conditions, and they have to secure fairness. That's the letters of the law. They don't really go into details of what is secure fairness. You know, it's all interpretation in the court or by the government. And they are obliged to submit a report, annual report on business operation, and interestingly, with self-assessment of their business situation. So you have to prove that you're doing fair, and then give a prior notices of any change to users of the terms and conditions. The Japanese e-commerce provider tried to change some of the shipping costs unilaterally, countered by many SMEs, don't change that way. And the government took it very seriously. But again, there's a big room for interpretation and evaluation by the government under this law. And the minister in charge can publicly announce that the report given from the specified providers are unfair. And then they were forced voluntarily to change the terms and conditions. So all in all, I presented two different fields of the digital platform regulations with a relatively new laws. And both, first of all, for the economic effect, it will not bring any immediate effect of making Japanese companies be viable in the global digital platform marketplace. Unlike Taiwan, we don't have the TSMC. Unlike Singapore, we don't have strong government arms to argue against Google. So we are always soft. But if the government is not strong enough, the corporations and their management are somehow pushed to become more serious and aggressive in their own light to execute their business, to deal with their counterparts and put more energy for innovation. So for us, or for me, the lack of the determination for innovation or strong strategy of the Japanese companies and their management people are the very sources of our position today. It's not Google or Amazon too aggressive. It's the too less aggressive or very weak of the Japanese companies, unlike 20 years ago or 30. That is the source of problem. That's my view. And so it may take longer with a soft approach, but it might produce a more concrete outcome. That is sort of my one interpretation. And also, when it comes to the hate speech as well, those who are victimized by the xenophobic people, if they too much rely on the police or, you know, government to criminalize, penalize, then they are fine. But they are weak. They remain weak in a way. So instead, what happened, interestingly, is this small number of guys, both Japanese and Korean residents, and some other foreigners residing in Japan, worked together and tried to find some shortcuts to appeal to the international system, maybe. They set up some office over there and try to continuously lobby them. So these strong wills and commitments to the excellence should be placed as the core or the spirit of the act and the regulations. It's not the legal framework, but the spirits behind. That's what I observe. And some of the academics, I read a book about hate speech in Japan, from the Cambridge Press, University Press, also acknowledges this combination of soft approach. It is sort of, you know, close to the co-regulation approach we can find elsewhere like Europe. But the Japanese vagueness of the law, interestingly, turning out to be a more sort of conducive, at least sort of a catalyst to propel the people's own movements and activity. I think that would be a sustainable base of keeping the human right in place and all the other economic or social interests in place, especially in the very difficult days of the digital platform changing every day and every second.
You've listened to Hate Speech and Platform Regulation, a workshop series by the ITM Münster.